Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Tuesday, November 24th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Before we go into, let's do the market report, and then I just have a little announcement I'd like to make to the listeners. Unless you think I should do that announcement now, Al. Let's just go ahead and do the market report today. We were able to get 690 out of gold.
You didn't give me a chance to answer the question,
Melody.
Yeah,
I know, I did.
Unless, Al, what is your opinion? Oh, never mind.
Gold up 690 at 1,076.60. You have silver up 3 cents at 14.28. Platinum was down 4 at 844, with palladium also down 2 at $542. I think the dollar today was a little bit, I can't even say it was weaker, down 0.13 at 99.60. Crude oil had another pop today, 1.14 at 42.89. Well, I'm sure that has a lot to do with what's going on with Russia and Turkey. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. It's a pretty major story, and certainly all things could things are being heated up. Let's go ahead and get to the paper markets today. You have the Dow Jones. There was pressure on it most of the day, but they managed to get it up to 20 points at 17,813. There's no way they're going into a four-day weekend with the markets down tomorrow, so get used to it. I can't imagine something nasty would have to happen to go into Thanksgiving, going into Black Friday, with a negative Dow number. So the NASDAQ basically unchanged. Even if it stays the same, 103 along with the S&P 2089. So it looks like the markets want to go down because they were down, triple digits prior to open and so forth. But they did recover slightly. 10-year yield 2.24%, and euro 106 still holding there. And Germany was down almost 1.5%. Everything else was pretty flat across the sector. And what's interesting, when you only have the markets basically unchanged throughout the day. I also looked at a three-month performance on various sectors. And usually, you know, they've really been in the red for the most part. Oh, you might have, you know, maybe technology. You might have the health services or something that are usually, you know, on the green side. Everything else is negative. Today, this is the first time I've seen in a long time where they're all positive except one, and that was health services. So interesting take to see these all up in big numbers. I mean, technology, the sector was up 20%, retail 12%. It's big numbers, big percentages, and only to see a, you know, 20-digit move on the Dow. Anyway, I just wanted to, before we get started with the program, we begin to talk about Russia and so forth. I think you all remember Rob West. He was just on the program on Friday, and he is a regular guest on the Financial Survival Program. And he needs your prayers. By way of Bob Chapman, Rob and his partner Sherry, they stopped into my office. Man, it seems like it was yesterday, but it's probably been 4 or 5 years
ago.
High
school seems like it was yesterday.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. But they stopped in my office. We met, and we ended up working on a national program promoting the education and the importance of gold and sort of evolved from Bob Chapman. Since then, we've become good friends. Sherry and Rob, they're good people, but Rob needs prayers. So please keep Rob and his wife and his family in your prayers. He needs health prayers. He had a surprising, they admitted him to the hospital. I'm not going to go into details, but I do ask you for prayers. His wife's name is Deanne, so Robin Deanne. So thank you very much. And I also wanted to make another announcement. We received another notice from the U.S. Mint. The 2015 American Eagle 1 ounce gold bullion coins are sold out. The U.S. Mint has sold out all the remaining 2015 dated American Gold Eagles. Now, remember, we talked about they have sold out of their 1/10 ounce, and they have sold out of their 1/4 ounce. So they have no plans to produce any at this time because it's 2015, and they're already making the 2016s. So the U.S. Mint will continue to take orders on their remaining inventories, which are 1/2 ounce American gold bullion coins, and as well as the American buffalo. So again, the U.S. Mint will begin taking our orders for the 2016 American gold eagle coins on Monday, January 11th. So folks, I mean, sure, there's other products out there, but for those of you who like the American Gold Eagle series, it comes at a time. We always have this pressure at the end of the year when they switch over from 2015s to 2016s. We have this pressure, but it really comes at a time where anything can happen. And if if that situation arrives, you know, there's not going to be a lot of product out there. We tell you this time and time again, and I don't tell you this just so you call up my phone and make orders. This is something very important. So if purchasing gold and silver is in your future, you better act on it today. And I think you have the report, Al, on Turkey has downed a Russian warplane near the Syria border. And, you know, Moscow denies.
They deny an airspace violation. This is from Reuters. You've probably all heard this. Most of you have probably caught up on this already. But it's one of those, you know, strange stories. First thing, you may have heard the argument, the insight that the first casualty of war is the truth. All right? Well, trying to find out what really happened here between Russia and Syria and Turkey will depend in large degree on whether or not the Russian plane was or was not intruding into Turkish airspace. And both sides are saying that
they're arguing against each other. Turkey says, yes, you intrude, they intruded into Turkish airspace, which means it's okay to shoot them down. The Russians are saying, oh, no, we didn't. We were careful not to. I don't know what the truth of the matter is. I know that when the lead starts flying, the lies are flying with them. Right? But I think we're going to find out the truth, because I think there are probably satellite images of what happened. And there may be radar images that can be relied on. Who knows? We may discover the truth before this is done and see who crossed whose border. But even though it may be that the Russian airplane, the Russian fighter jet, crossed into Turkish territory, is that sufficient reason to shoot it down? Now, it may be sufficient justification in a legal sense, but is it sufficient reason? It is a strange event, because you would suppose that the Turks would not be eager to shoot down a Russian jet. Does Turkey want some sort of a confrontation with Russia? You would suppose that Turkey said, no, no, look, if they're just intruding a little bit over the line, forget it. Just get them out of here and tell them to go home or whatever. Buy them a beer next time you see them. But, you know, let's not make a big international incident out of this. And Turkey did pull the trigger. They did shoot this jet down, plus two pilots ejected. One of them was apparently shot and killed by Muslim militia while he was parachuting to the ground. The second one hasn't been found yet. A Russian helicopter that was searching for the second pilot was also shot out of the air by the Muslim, and this is taking place in Syria. This isn't taking place in Turkey. This is the sort of thing that happens when you get into war or you get close to war, and all of a sudden something crazy happens, and the domino effect may kick in, and all of a sudden one of the dominoes falls. Nobody thought it was a domino. No one imagined it could fall. All of a sudden something crazy happens, and one thing leads to another, and where does it wind up? According to the article, Turkey shot down a Russian warplane near the Syrian border, saying it had repeatedly violated its airspace. One of the most serious publicly acknowledged clashes between a NATO member country and Russia for a half century. Russian President Vladimir Putin said the plane had been attacked when it was 1 kilometer, about 0.6 miles, inside Syria. Not inside Turkey, inside Syria, and warned of serious consequences for what he termed a stab in the back. Russian and Turkish shares fell on fears. Now, this is where it gets interesting. We're having a war. All right. Does it matter that they shot a plane out of the air? Well, yeah, it does. Does it matter that somebody got, that at least one of the pilots is dead? Well, yes, it does. But both sides are seeing adverse consequences in their stock markets. And it's a little bit odd to me. It's not surprising. Nothing unusual about that. But it's still a little bit odd. Oh, my gosh, we're going to war, and people, to some degree, are more concerned about what happens in the stock market than they are on what happened at the battlefield. It's not the way war was. You know, when you talk about the American Revolution, the shot heard around the world, and redcoats lining up and firing at the rebels, and the rebels firing from trees, there wasn't an impact on the stock market that anyone noticed or cared about. It was a war. There was a certain amount of horror. There was a certain amount of heroics. There was courage and cowardice and all the rest of that. And there was a drama that took place there. Right or wrong. I don't mean that it's to be, the war is to be praised or sought after, but it was what it was all by itself. And there were not consequences. Oh, my God, what will this mean to the price of tea? That wasn't a question. Nobody was concerned about that. Today, it enters in. Where am I? Video from Turkey showed the two pilots parachuting out of the jet before it crashed. A Syrian rebel group sent a video to Reuters that appeared to show one of the pilots immobile and badly wounded on the ground. And an official from the group said he was dead. Russia's defense ministry said for the entire duration of the flight, the aircraft was exclusively over Syrian territory. Now,
Turkish military said the aircraft had been warned 10 times in the space of 5 minutes about violating the Turkish airspace. Officials said a second plane had also approached the border and been warned. Three senior Turkish officials have told Reuters that we warned them to avoid entering Turkish airspace before they did, and we warned them many times. Our findings show clearly that Turkish airspace was violated multiple times, and they violated it knowingly. Somebody's lying. First casualty of war is the truth. Again, there was an S. Shelley's in 500 B.C. or thereabout, 2,500 years ago. He observed that the first casualty of war is the truth. He was a dramatist, Greek dramatist. So this isn't news that people start lying, but it is interesting. And what is the truth of the matter? Don't know. A second Turkish official said the incident was not an action against any specific country, but a move to defend Turkey's sovereign territory within its rules of engagement. Well, that's a justification, but it's even so. You would suppose that Turkey, they're in the Middle East, and they may be caught in circumstances where they're concerned, they're constantly on guard. It might be the Israel flying over there, and they might be on a hair trigger to shoot anybody. It could be, I have no idea how many different entities Turkey might be afraid of. All right, in the Middle East, people are afraid of almost everything. So it's reasonable that there'd be some sort of concern on this thing. But still, it does not strike me as reasonable to shoot a Russian plane out of the air. Again, this is done with a NATO member. Turkey's a NATO member. The potential here is significant to yes. see an escalation that we have to wonder, does anyone want this escalation? Does Vladimir Putin want it? I don't think so. I don't think he wants a confrontation with Turkey. I'm only guessing. I don't know. But does Turkey intentionally trying to damage Russia? Are they doing this intentionally? You would think the Turkey would say, look, we don't want to get in a fight with those crazy Russians. You know how they are. Let's not shoot any of their planes. What's happened here, Melody?
But it's true. If anybody wants it, it's Obama wants it. And, you know, he was just in Turkey a week ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't believe in coincidences, and, hey, if Turkey goes to war with Russia, we have to support Turkey. So, I mean, there's, and Russia, they deployed a missile cruiser off Syria's coast ordered to destroy any target posing danger. And so they're doing things, and how much is Putin going to take? I mean, pretty soon his country is going to, you know, it's kind of like ours and Obama. Our country is demanding Obama at least pretend he's a man. And, the people, the citizens are going to start wanting to, you know, maybe to fight back or to...
Well, I get that, but and Putin has a certain image to maintain. He's that guy who's flexing his muscles and riding around bare-chested out hunting or whatever. All right, he comes off, he's got that macho thing going for him. Now what's he going to do? Is he going to accept it, that this was just some sort of an unfortunate accident, that the Russian people, the Russian pilots were at fault? Or is evidence going to come out and say, no, the Russians were in the right, in which case people are going to be screaming at him to retaliate? And he has to begin to wonder, how big a mess has he stepped into? You know, it's one thing to get engage in war with ISIS and bomb them and so on. Now what? He might wind up having something happening between him and Turkey. You can see how you can get into this, and it can turn into a mess that nobody wants, nobody anticipates. You know, God knows where it's going to end up.
The whole point of all of this is Obama wants Assad out of there.
Oh, I get that. But what does, you know, Russia has to wonder how many enemies does it have to encounter in the Middle East to fight on Assad's behalf? And, you know, the whole thing is, it's bizarre. It'll probably blow over. We can hope it does. But it's certainly a dangerous situation. Let's take some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give Melody a call at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners that they can get to our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Hey, prices are moving up. Is this the big move? Well, we've been waiting for that big move for a while, but it is great buying opportunities, folks, to get your product and get the product that is quality, because when this product disappears, your choices will also disappear, but it will still behoove you to get gold and silver. We just can't stress it enough. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We've got the best prices, the best service, the best shipping in the country. We've been around a long time, longer than a lot of these guys that just came in 2008, 2009. They came in and they capitalized in a bull market of gold. And I'll guarantee you that if they didn't believe that the gold bull market was still here, they'd be gone. They're going to be here yesterday, and they will go as soon as they're done doing what they do, getting you in there and then selling you a bunch of paper. You want physical gold. So,
and what you mean by paper is
mining shares, gold stocks, storing your metals in Singapore or in Canada. A lot of these guys are from Canada.
For maximum safety, I think about storing mine on the moon, Melody.
Well,
that's somebody who says they
you
can
have
get
your
their
own private ship. If you have your own private rocket ship, then be my guest.
No, I don't have one of my own, but I talked to somebody. He was on the internet, so it must be true. He's got a rocket ship, and he can park it up there.
Oh, there you go.
In an undisclosed crater, and I'll be the only one who knows where it is.
All right. Well, so folks, be safe out there. When you buy paper gold, you're not buying gold. It's really that simple. And you don't own it unless you have it in your pocket. So if you have any questions for the program, please send it to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com, discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com, or questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. And tomorrow, had a question that did come in. They wanted us to talk about, and we will on tomorrow's program. I promise. They wanted to talk about Bit Gold. And the reference was Soros was part of the investment backing or backer of this program. And I think it's his sons
yeah.
that was actually the backer. So, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. And are there any pros? Are there any cons to Bit Gold? So we'll talk about that tomorrow, as I said before.
All right. And we've got a caller, Joe from Arkansas. Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. And how are you, Al?
Good.
Good. Great, Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay. The situation in Syria, the thing that's so interesting about it to me is that I have heard of so many people having dreams or visions or making predictions or prophecies or something like this of Russia nuking the major cities of the United States right around this time. Like, for instance, the most remarkable one, I guess, is Dimitri Dudeman. He was this evangelist from Romania that came to the United States in the early 1980s, I believe it was. And he said that in the early 1980s, the Archangel Gabriel showed him a vision of what would happen to America, and that all the big cities of America would become like Sodom and Gomorrah, and then there would be a civil war started in the middle of the country by the communists. And while the government was kind of preoccupied with the civil war that the communists started, Russia, a coalition of enemy countries led by Russia, and also China would be involved, and I think Cuba and some others would be involved too, they would nuke the major cities of the United States. So that's number one. And then it's kind of uncanny how everything seems to be lining up for that to actually happen, you know, possibly actually happen. And then another one is there was a man named John Teeter who in 2001 posted a lot of stuff on the Internet, and he claimed to be a time traveler from the year 2035. And he said that the United States would be, that all the major cities of the United States would be nuked by Russia in 2015. And he said some things that apparently, some people kind of looked into what he said, and, you know, some of these people that were quite intelligent, you know, the way of looking into what he said, said that it didn't appear that anybody who was not a traveler from 2035 could actually know these things and be able to say these things. So, anyway,
well,
that was
he talking about when he says by 2015? Does he mean by the beginning of 2015, or does he mean by the end of 2015?
No, he said in the year 2015.
In the year 2015.
Well, so there's not much left of it. If that's going to happen, you know, there's time's running out fast, isn't it?
And another
such case is I got a letter from a friend in Utah just the other day, and she said that she knew a man who in the 1970s had dreams of life in America becoming quite disrupted by nuclear bombs from the north and plagues and diseases coming up from the south. And then I think I've heard that David Wilkerson also had some similar visions of this, but I'm not really all that familiar with him. Maybe somebody knows what David Wilkerson said, what his visions were. But anyway, it's very interesting to me that so many people have had dreams or visions or made predictions or prophecies or something like this, you know, about American cities getting nuked by Russia, you know, right around this time. And the situation seems to be developing, you know, that could very possibly happen, it looks like.
Well, it's possible, but I mean, we had a lot of people who predicted that come September or October this year, the stuff was going to hit the fan and we were going to definitely fall into an economic collapse and the rest of that sort of thing. I can remember years ago in the 90s, might have been 1992, I don't recall, there was a prediction, and I was getting it from a bunch of sources. I was publishing a magazine at the time, and people contacted me from around the country, and I had an opportunity to collect information from a lot of different sources. And I was getting information from a bunch of sources that said, come October,
All right, there was going to be an October surprise. The government was going to try to impose military law or martial law and the rest of that sort of thing. And I had those reports from so many sources. If it had only come from one source, I would have paid no attention to it. But I was getting that report from Florida and California and Maine and Nebraska and Texas. I was getting it from all over the country, and the weight of the reports caused me to say, oh my gosh, I think it must be true because I'm getting too many. And nothing happened. And after that, I actually started to keep a conspiracy report file where people would claim that something was going to happen and on such and such, and it was coming in September or April or whenever, 2015, 2016, 2013, 20. None of them have ever panned out.
No.
Doesn't mean that none of them ever will, but my after 20 years of collecting these conspiracy reports, I mean, I ought to make a book out of them sometime. They're kind of silly in retrospect. And one of these days, somebody's going to get it right. But for the moment, I don't think I'm worried about... I'm not worried about being bombed, nuked by Russia and the rest of these people in the next 6-7 weeks.
Mm-mm.
That doesn't strike me. And, you know, if I'm wrong, after it's all over, if I'm still alive, people think you've been misled by me, you can sue me. Take me to court because I said I didn't think, you know. Just statistically, that's all I'm getting to, Joe. I mean, just statistically, I've listened to these reports for at least 25 years, and 25 years, and they never do pan out. So,
what I've found about them is that so often it seems like, you know, with these dreams and visions and predictions and prophecies and so on like that, you know, things seem to be very often going in the general direction of the prediction or the prophecy. But, in, you know, so that there are certain elements of it that do come true, you know, like this prediction about martial law. Of course, we do see that the government is always trying more and more to impose martial law. You know, the government is always trying to crack down on the Bill of Rights and more exercise oppressive tyranny over the country and so on like that, and complete control, you know, like martial law. You know, we see things kind of going
that,
in that direction, but never exactly like the prediction says it's gonna.
Well, when you talk about martial law,
so I often see these things partially coming true.
Well, the circumstances sometimes arise where some of these predictions become plausible. They've become more plausible at these days. Oh, it's just like he was saying, and look what's happened. And they're just, we'll watch and see. But when it comes to martial law, they don't have enough military, they don't have enough police to impose martial law in this country. They can impose it in Chicago, they can impose it in Dallas, Texas, they can go to a couple major cities, but that's as far as it's going to go. Texas is about the size and population of Iraq. And the United States expended considerable manpower and ordnance trying to control Iraq, and they never really did. 8.5 years, and they couldn't bring Iraq under control. And that was basically, you know, it was to a large degree almost a majority of what military power we had. They couldn't handle a country the size and population of Texas. There are not enough resources for government to impose martial law throughout this entire country. They aren't there. All right? And the truth of the matter, from my perspective, is, and I'm not in favor of martial law. I want to make, you know, I certainly don't want any martial law and the rest of it, but the people of this country will be begging for martial law in the end, in the event that things go south. If things really get bad and you've got rioters out on the streets and people trying to take your home, take your food or whatever you've got in your home and the rest of this sort of thing, people will be begging, will somebody please install martial law to keep the rioters out of my home, off my block, out of my community. And there won't be any. It'll be like one of the riots they had in California back, I don't even remember. I think after Rodney King, but I don't recall if that was it. Yeah, I think it was from Rodney King. The cops disappear. Everybody disappears. There's nobody. There's too much trouble for them to deal with. And the implication here is, while people will be begging for martial law, they won't be able to get it in most instances. There'll be some that'll get it, but for most, they won't get that protection. You're going to have to take care of yourself. If you think you're coming into a very difficult and dangerous time, guess what? It's not time to grease the keys on the 911 on your cell phone, because it's probably not going to work. If you think we're really going into a bad situation, you better have what you need to protect yourself and your family. And, I don't know. You know, I mean, martial law, I've heard those reports, I've heard, and I know that government is trying to strip us of our rights. I get that. I'm not here, certainly not here to defend the government, and I'm not in favor of the loss of rights by any stretch of the imagination. But it can only be imposed by conning the American people into accepting the deprivation. They're not going to do this by force. They don't have enough cops. They don't have enough police. The police department is something like 0.3% of the population. They are outnumbered 300-1. That includes children and elderly and so on. But you could figure they're outnumbered 200 adults to one. Those are bad odds. Bring in the American military, it's only about another 0.3% of the population. They're still outnumbered over 100-1. All right? Those are bad odds. You can bring in some great weapons and some great ordnance and the rest of that, but you get 200 people throwing rocks at you at the same time. If that's all they've got is rocks and you're fighting 200-1, you're going home in a body bag. These are terrible odds for the military, terrible odds for the police. They can't do martial law. They can con us, they can deceive us, they can try to persuade us that it's for our own best interest that we give up the First Amendment, for example, or the Second Amendment or whatever. And if we're dumb enough to go along with it, we're going to pay a price for that. But it's up to us to stand up and say, no, we're not going to give up our rights. And eventually you get to a point where not only we say no, now what are you going to do about it? You going to bring all your buddies from the FBI and the whoever works, the agents at the IRS and whatever, and you're going to fight with us? You don't stand a chance. So you better start. You know, it's up to us.
Well, you know what, Al? And you're absolutely correct. And you know what? It's to try and control order in a situation. But we know how corrupt everything is, and we've seen what they have done to our rights and our liberties through the years, particularly since 9/11. So we know it's not a group of people or a government that's there for our best interests.
That's right.
But if they were, if we did have a government and they were trying to, you know, have some sort of, you know, law order that needs to be done, and you know, we know what the outcome is at this point in time.
We know what the outcome would be. We know that the government,
right.
You know, they have to. We are not going to collapse as a nation without our consent. It may be misguided consent, stupid consent, and cowardly consent, but we are the 800-pound gorilla. And we run this country if we care to get up off the couch and do it. And just get those congressmen and senators and presidents, you grab them right by the collar and tell them, look, this is the way it's going to be.
Pick
and
up
if
your
you want to have a home to live in, if you want to come back to this district after you're done looting, plundering in Washington, D.C., you'd better start paying attention to the people. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements, and we're going to start that break right about now. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We were talking about a little bit about this concept of martial law and the idea that motivates the martial law or the alleged threats of martial law is that people are worried about the government. People don't trust the government, and that distrust has been growing for the last 20 or 30 years. Now, here's a survey from the Pew Research Center, and the headline is, Survey finds distrust in government at record high, and GOP not alone in complaints. A new Pew Research Center survey found widespread dismay at the way federal government runs. According to the survey, a mere 20% of more than 6,000 respondents believe the feds manage their programs effectively, while 59% say it's time for a very major change at the federal level, which explains the Trump phenomena. Just 19% of those polls said they trust the federal government all or most of the time, meaning that they generally distrust the government. One of the lowest levels ever recorded by Pew since 1958. We are down. Our level of distrust of government is at near record levels. About 57% describe themselves as frustrated with government. An additional 22% say they are angry. And just 18% describe themselves as basically content. One in five. I keep. Who do you suppose the one in five are, Melody? Do you think those are the welfare recipients? This is a good system. You know, it pays the rent, pays the food. I said, I don't have to work. They might be basically content. America's overall views of the federal government are very negative. Trust government always, most of the time. 19%, only 19% actually trust the government most of the time. Now, this is an important statistic, and it's not just an odd little anomaly, because if you study the monetary system in this country, you'll see references and you'll see statements by people in positions of power that we must maintain public confidence in order to support the fiat dollar. Well, they don't ever say confidence in what. Right? Well, we've got to maintain public confidence. That's what we got to have, confidence. That's what maintains. All right, fine. Well, I don't see how we're going to maintain public confidence if only 19% of the American people trust government always or most of the time. It does not bode well for the idea of, if confidence is what's required, it looks like we're going to run short before long. People believe, 74% of people believe that most elected officials put their own interests ahead of the country's. I don't doubt that at all. I'm surprised it's only 74%. 55% of ordinary Americans would do
55% of ordinary Americans would do a better job of solving problems, although they believe Congress would do a better job. But views of government's role and performance were more mixed. They actually have, public actually tends to have a positive opinion. They don't trust the government in general, but they do trust the individual agencies. They tend to trust the individual agencies, which is surprising. It's almost like a kind of schizophrenia. Say, oh, we don't trust you people in government. But I trust the, you know, trust the guy down there, the local bureaucrats and the rest of it. And it might be the reason for that is that you actually can deal with the bureaucrats face-to-face. And if they're reasonably personable and if they're halfway friendly and the rest of that sort of thing, yeah, all right, we can get along with them. But the people in Washington and the people who appear or at least seem to be in charge, they are so distant and they do such strange things that it's difficult for us to, it's difficult to make believe that these people are working for our interests. Because we see them do things that they seem contrary to the American people's interests. We don't see that out of the bureaucracies particularly. We go in there and they just admit, they handle forms, give me your name and address, and they fill out the form and one thing or another happens. They're just doing their job. But the people in government, particularly in Washington, you can't help but wonder, what the heck are these people up to? Well, Pew Research Group found Democrats were dissatisfied with the state of government. Republicans are primarily responsible for the shift in attitude. 70% of Democrats say they only seldom or never trust government. 89% of the GOP now profess major distrust of the feds. In Barack Obama's 6 years as president, 13% of Republicans on average have said they can trust the government always or most of the time. This is the lowest percentage, lowest level of average trust among either party during any administration dating back 40 years. Only 13% of the Republicans say they can trust the government always or most of the time. Nearly a third of Republicans said they were angry with the federal government compared to just 12% of Democrats. Democrats, yeah, they're, you know, they're, the government is very, very good to me. And they trust the government. Republicans, a third of them said they're angry. And you see this. We see evidence of this in Trump. I mean, Trump to some degree expresses that Republican anger. He's tapped into it. It's a little bit of, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. All right? And we're seeing traces of that in the Republican Party. We're not seeing it to the same degree with the Democrats. So point is that right or wrong, good or bad, the public is increasingly distrustful of government. That cannot bode well for a positive short-time future for this country. One way or another, government has got to regain American people's trust, and they've got to instill some confidence in the American people that they're here to do what's best for the general welfare, not for special interests. And I don't see how they're going to do that. What are they going to do? They're about broke. What can they do to tell people, oh, you can trust us now? Why? Because you're broke? You don't have enough money to make trouble? Can't afford to go out and get drunk and do drugs or whatever? So now you're going to sit home and watch TV and be nice, play nice? I mean, I don't know what government can do to restore public confidence in government. One of the things they might be able to do is dump Obama out of the White House. Maybe that'll restore some confidence and put somebody in there who at least appears to be doing what's best for the American people. I don't know. It's one of these things. Talk about martial law. I don't know. We started off on that. And government attitudes. People are afraid of the government. They're angry about government. They're frustrated with government. And I think the reason for that is maybe, especially right now, there may be a number of reasons, but Obama has made it his business to try to foment change in this country, regardless of whether Congress goes along with it, regardless of whether the people go along with it. He wants to do things his way. And he's had a certain amount of success at that. He's certainly you know, he's tried to get rid of our guns. He's tried to do what he can to blunt the Second Amendment. He's imposed his health care system, tried to do that, and that's failing. He has his own agenda, and that agenda doesn't look, it looks like it's contrary to the best interest of the American people, at least to a lot of people. That's the appearance, and I'm one of them. I don't think he's doing what's right for this country. You know, he's not the first president to betray us, as far as I'm concerned. He's not enforcing. I mean, these people in Congress and in the White House, they won't even protect our borders from an invasion by illegal aliens. And it's not about the illegal aliens. It's about the people in Congress. It's about people in the White House. Why won't they protect our borders? How can we have confidence in a government that not only allows but encourages illegal aliens to enter this country? How can we suppose that, oh, the government is working for our best interest? No, they're not. And it's obvious to anyone who looks at it and cares about it and isn't getting a check from the government. A lot of people get checks from the government and say, oh, government's good, you know, they're sending me a check, so I'm in favor of them. That might, if you just stop those checks going out, the number of people who would sit here and say, I'm in favor of this government, would probably diminish to maybe 4 or 5% out of the whole country, if that. So, what do you think, Melody? We're going to have martial law or a government we can believe in, or what's going to happen here?
You know what, I can't predict. You know, I can only understand, you know, what our monetary policy is in the direction and the growth that we see in Washington. And, you know, we see all the signs around this. I mean, you know, and if people want to prepare and do what's necessary, that's what they should be doing. It's what I do. And I'm not a, you know, we started out with time travelers and so forth. It's, you know, my source is the Bible. It tells me exactly where we're heading, what's going to happen. It tells me what to look for, when to look for it. So, you know, and that's why when people ask me, who do you follow? I don't follow anyone. You know, you have to read. I don't listen to people's opinions who write, or I should say analysis. I listen to opinions, but I don't listen to their analysis of markets and so forth because I draw my own conclusions. I understand what's going on, and that's what people have to do. You have to understand what's going on. Be aware of what's going on around you. And we have been, you know, people have been so blinded, people have been so conditioned over the years. I mean, you can look back and just see how everyone has been conditioned. There is a greater agenda out there, and we know the end. We know the last chapter of the book. So, you know, until we get to the last page, you need to prepare. And but there's a lot of things going on, and you had some other great articles also, Al, in relationship to what's going on. The U.S. Pension Fund, this is one area where the U.S. pension insurer posts record deficit for 2015.
Yeah, for the 13th consecutive year, they've been running a deficit. This is a federal agency that insures pensions for about 40 million Americans. And their deficit is increased by 23% to $76 billion. The agency's program for so-called multi-employer pension plans continues to account for most of the deficit. The deficit reported Tuesday for the year ended September 30th was the widest in the 41-year history of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp. It has now run shortfalls for 13 straight years. What's that mean? It means there probably won't be any reliable insurance on your pension funds. If push comes to shove, if there is a serious problem, you know, again, the worst case scenario is always the least likely scenario. It's the most dramatic. It favors all of the drama queens and the rest of this sort of thing. But if the worst case comes down or something close to it, and you're counting on your pension fund to carry you through, here we have a primary U.S. pension insurer who's been running deficits for 13 years. What do you think is going to turn that around? And how is this pension insurer going to insure pensions if it's been losing money for 13 years? It's just another one of the leaves in the breeze that tells people you're going to have to figure out how to depend on yourself.
Well, we talked about it earlier when we were talking about with martial law. He may be screaming for martial law before this is all over. Worst case scenario, the thugs are going to rule, right? And it'll be up to you to protect yourself. Same thing as something like that is happening with this U.S. pension insurer. It's the implication. It's not proof, but it is evidence. Again, you're going to have to take care of yourself. You're going to have to be responsible for whatever it is that's going on in your life and whatever it is you want to protect. Fine. Do it. You know, take your best shot.
And, you know, what's funny is, you know, we talk about that, but the Fed, Yellen, she continues, everyone, Bernanke, government, any, you know, Wall Street, finance, they all defend the low-rate policies because they've all made billions of dollars because it's all about you, the spender. They need you, and they will do anything possible to get at your every last penny. There's trillions of dollars sitting there in these retirement accounts. Do you really believe when we have a government that when we have a government that's, you know, $20 trillion in the hole
that they admit to?
That they admit
to. Credible sources say it's $100 trillion, and the CBO and economist Lawrence Kotlikoff says it's over $200 trillion.
Does anybody really believe they're not going to mess with your retirement accounts?
Yeah, no.
I mean, come on, folks. They take it from you day in and day out through taxes that you're not even aware of, and everybody just continues to pay willingly. And then what else are we to do? I mean, you know, they saw our gasoline prices finally drop. People are clapping their hands. Oh, goody, I saw prices at 170, some around $2, some are 205. But what do they do in the meantime? Well, gasoline prices are low. Now we can slap on more taxes for you. You're not going to get a break. And when they need it, they will take it. So make sure you're protected for that situation. We already know legislation has been written. We already know legislation. These laws have been talked about. So it's up to you.
Yeah, and it's one of these things, and it may be a good thing. We're going to have to learn to take personal responsibility for our own lives. And it may be, it won't be a fun lesson. All right, but maybe it's the best thing that could happen to this country. As soon as we start to become personally responsible again, maybe this country will get back on its feet and do some good. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.